Welcome back to Saving Our Speech, Exploring the Laws of Lashon Hara as they apply today. And today we're going to talk about some of the applications of what we've already discussed. So we've discussed that there is a prohibition of Lashon Hara, which best is defined as negative speech about other people. Last week we talked about the times in which it's not forbidden to share what is negative information about other people. And that is the height of what we call to'elet, when you're sharing that information for a positive reason, for a constructive purpose. We basically suggest that there are two ways of looking at that dispensation. One is, and by the way, I shouldn't use the word dispensation. It could be it's a mitzvah. Sometimes you're obligated to share such information, as we'll get to today. It's not something you're allowed to do. You're obligated to do it. What is the basis for this mitzvah? So one way of looking at it is that lashon hara is negative or malicious speech, and speech that is shared for a positive purpose with a positive intention is by definition not malicious speech. It's not malicious, meaning lashon hara is defined by intent. Therefore, a positive intent is by definition not lashon hara. That's one perspective. The other perspective is that it might be, you know, objectively still negative speech, but the positive purpose and the importance of sharing it outweighs the damage that you're causing to the other person, right? So to give the example we actually spoke about, so you have a seller who is selling a product for way over market value. It might be lashon hara to tell a prospective buyer, hey, he's ripping you off. Well, you don't have to say it that way, but let's just say, for instance, you say, listen, he's selling it for way, way more expensive than he ought to be. You could get it for much cheaper. That might be negative. Negative in the sense that it's saying, you know, the person is not necessarily the most straight. Or even forgetting that, negative in the sense that you're going to prevent him from getting the sale, which is going to cause him a loss of money. Nevertheless, saving the person who otherwise would buy it out, but who's just an innocent victim, outweighs the damage it might cause to the perpetrator. Okay, so that was our discussion of to'elet. To this week, I wanted to talk about a few applications, and specifically and primarily focus on the application of yiduchim and dating, and how to, when to share information or ask for information about a prospective match, or if you know someone who is dating someone looking for a prospective match, which is obviously a very sensitive topic. And these are topics that are very hard to give definitive guidelines for, but I'd like to at least discuss the issues. But I wanted to start with something that I think we have alluded to in the past, but I think it's an important one, which is therapy or venting, we'll say. So sometimes a person is just, you know, overwhelmed by something someone else did to them, and they're not in a position to necessarily talk about it with the person who wronged them right away. Say you go to work and somebody really, really, really bothers you at work. They say something that was really insensitive. They do something that was really insensitive, et cetera, et cetera. And it really weighs on you. It bothers you. And you go home and you want to talk about it with your spouse, with your kids, with whoever it is. And the purpose of you doing that might be because maybe they can help you deal with the situation, or it might be just because it really, really bothers you and you want to get it off your chest. It will help you. It's a therapeutic effect to share that information, or with a real therapist, right? What does a therapist often do? Often, you know, you really divulge all the things that are happening in your life, which often involves how other people are treating you in a way that is wrong. So is there a basis for such discussion? And the answer is, on a very basic level, yes, there is a basis for such discussion. There's a pasuk in Mishlei, I believe, I forget now, it's in chapter 12, Perikud Bet, I might be wrong. And the pasuk says, the part of it, Da'aga, the Lev Ish, the next word is actually Yishichena, Yishichena. So Da'aga, the Lev Ish, if there is a worry in the heart of a person, Yishichena, how do you translate that word? So there are different ways of translating it. It might mean to remove the doubt from your head because you don't want to be perturbed by it for too long. But one way of translating it is to sort of switch the shin for a sin, which is sometimes happens in Hebrew, and it would be read Da'aga Belev Ish Yisichena. Someone has a worry on their heart, they should siach, they should discuss it with others. And some, Rabag and others, understand this to mean that it's therapeutic, it's helpful, it's beneficial that when something's really bothering you, to talk about it with other people. There is many contemporary authorities do indeed rule that both from the speaker's perspective and the listener's perspective, say someone comes over to you and they say, listen, there's something that really bothered me that so-and-so did. I just want to talk about it with you. So you could, as we discussed, it's not just prohibited to speak negative speech, it's also prohibited to share, to listen to negative speech. So what about in this situation? Nevertheless, even though that's the case, it is permitted to, provided that it's clear that the purpose of it is that positive benefit of therapy, of the therapeutic effect. Now, does that mean necessarily, you know, that you should feel free license to just blast everybody who ever did anything wrong to you, to everybody, you know, that you can? No. And like many of these matters, it requires a certain amount of judgment and it's within reason. Another interesting topic Rabbi Feldman discusses, as I mentioned, Daniel Feldman wrote a really wonderful book about Lashon Hara. And he discusses this issue at length. Much of the material I'm going to say tonight is from his book. So another interesting issue is the question of who you should share it to, i.e., better to share with someone that you're close to, like a spouse or a relative or a friend, or better to share it with somebody that's not as close to you. So there really could be, you know, arguments both ways. On the one hand, the closer the person is to you, the more likely they are to kind of take your side. And there are two sides to every issue. You know, and they might unnecessarily, you know, view the person negatively when maybe it's not so clear that that should be the case. On the other hand, it's often the therapeutic effect is often augmented. It's better when the person is someone close to you, right? That there's something special about, you know, your relationship with your spouse or your good friend or relative, and that might have a better impact on you. They know you better, they're more sensitive, they're more receptive. So these issues really all have to be weighed. And there might be an additional consideration regarding a spouse, which is that there is a requirement of making sure that you take care of the emotional needs of your spouse. It's part of what a husband's obligation is to their wife. Might be a part of Ona, and therefore there certainly is a reason to specifically speak to your spouse. But again, within reason. Doesn't mean that every time you come home from work you should say, "Hey, you know what this guy said at work today? Oh my gosh, it was." No, it has to be, you have to be honest with yourself, it's for a therapeutic or positive benefit. And I'll just mention, I was looking today into Chumen. There is a issue 27. There is a discussion by Rabbi Yuval Chirlo about this topic. And he says he got a question from someone who basically, it sounds like they have sort of almost like a coffee clutch. They have a group of friends and maybe this person was a therapist of some sort. And all of the friends always like sort of discuss what, you know, what's going on with their lives and things are going wrong. And she's found that, you know, based on the advice she gives, they come to some really good solutions or approaches to dealing with these real life issues. And the question was, how does she, on the one hand, it's very hard to say, okay, only tell me what's especially relevant. When people get into these sorts of discussions, you know, you can't really limit them necessarily. On the other hand, there is really a benefit to it. And what he says is, again, it's hard to draw rules, but he says, number one, you should tell them that the purpose of this conversation is to help benefit them and help them deal with their issues. When you listen to it, you should have in mind that that's why you're doing it. And you should, and you also should do the best that you can not to rush to any conclusions and judging other people, because there's always two perspectives on any issue, but just trying to be constructive is your goal. And as much as possible, not to exaggerate anything, not to do anything which would cause them to not like the person more or to exaggerate what they did wrong. These are some of the conditions that Chavetz Chaim himself discusses. So that's venting. Again, big topic. you have to address it wisely, but there is definitely a dispensation for venting and therapy, both from the speaker and listener's perspective. Okay, moving on to Shiduchim. And so a lot of high stakes. There's a lot of high stakes here, right? So say, I don't know, I'll make up some names. Sarah Rachel is going out with Moshe, I don't know, Yankel. Sarah Rachel and Yankel are dating. And let's say you have some information about Yankel, which you think might be relevant, that Sarah Rachel really ought to hear. So when do you, when don't you share that information? Let's say. So a lot of things to think about, right? On the one hand, the timing. The timing is tricky. Why is the timing so tricky? On the one hand, if it's, you know, if the more, the longer you wait, the longer people are, you know, seeing one another, there's much more investment in the relationship. And to call it off for some reason, for instance, might be particularly painful or too late, right? So on the one hand, you can't wait too long. On the other hand, number one, there are many reasons not to share it too early. First of all, if they're not serious, there it might not be relevant yet. Number two, if someone doesn't know someone some well, they tend to look at issues differently. Meaning, when you have a relationship with someone, when you're invested in them, when you have a greater picture of the whole person, then a specific issue might be looked at differently than when you just met them, right? And so, and you have to take into account two other things. Number one, it's not just the relationship with this person, but if you jump in at an inappropriate time, it might affect this person's future prospects for going out with other people. And that's a consideration to take into account. And second, and thirdly, it could be that the person themselves would have shared the information at a later point in their relationship, and you just jumping in there and spilling the beans is going to intervene in a way that's totally not appropriate and can be very damaging, and can compromise the relationship with the subject of the information. So it's quite complicated. So what principles ought we use in this regard? So the Chafetz Chaim does talk about this specifically in the laws of Rechilutz. I believe it's chapter 8. And he has, Rabbi Feldman notes, two very relevant comments. So one comment is the type of flaw, right? Clearly, there are certain flaws which we could say are objective or very serious, which really ought to be shared. Not just because it's really important for the person to know to make an informed decision, but also because halachically, if you go into a marriage with someone based on a false assumption where there's something that you didn't know about them, and if you had known, then you wouldn't have gone through with it, then it's not a legitimate kedushin. It's not a legitimate marriage. It's what we call kedushay tot. It's a kedushin based on a false pretense, and therefore it might not be valid. So it's especially important to share some information. On the other hand, there are certain things that are not relevant, right? I don't know if you need to say it right away, you know, let's say it's a woman, like, you know, I know that Sarah Rachel snores really loudly at night, right? I mean, you don't have to share every single piece of negative information about someone just because you know it about them, right? And okay, so that's a silly example, but there's going to be some gray area there, right? There are some things that are relevant to some people that are not as relevant to other people. There are some things that you're not 100% sure they're relevant. So that's one thing.
Just an example, what is relevant?
Chafetz Chaim gives two: illness, serious illness. That's a good example. Not everybody is willing to get into a relationship with someone who's seriously ill.
If they are,
then you at some point you determine that the person is not disclosing this information, and they're not going to disclose this information, and they're already getting serious. It might be very well relevant to share with them. You might be obligated to share with them. Again, you have to make sure that they're not sharing it with them, right? You have to do your research. It could be that they're just waiting. But again, it's not such a simple, clear-cut answer. The other thing he says is heresy. If they have, let's say, I don't know, if the person's like actually doesn't keep Shabbos and they just pretend to, something like that. Like, that's obviously very relevant, right? That's the examples he gives. An example he gives, which is interesting, that he says is not necessarily relevant, is that the Chafetz Chaim's language, the person isn't a really big Talmud Chacham. He's not a great Torah scholar. Now you might shrug your shoulders. Who cares, right? But the Chofetz Chaim, you'd think, would care a lot about that. But one reason he says you shouldn't share this, which is another factor, is at some point the person has to do their own research too. I mean, there are certain things that if you get to know the person and you know you should tell fairly quickly. Like there are certain things that aren't that concealable, and if you do your due research, you'll find them out yourself. So the Chofetz Chaim actually says that whether the person's a big Torah scholar, a big Talmid Chacham, or not such a big Talmid Chacham, is that's upon the prospective match to determine, right? You got to figure that out for yourself. You don't have to go about telling that to people. So you see then that you have these two criteria. Number one, not everything needs to be shared. It might depend on the how objectively important that issue is. And number two, whether or not this is something the person should do their own research for. And then there is the other factor, which is a difference between Asker and Teller, right? So from the Teller's perspective, there does seem to be a distinction between whether you are just offering this without consent or what's the word when so you unsolicited information. Thank you for that. And when it is solicited. And there does seem to be a distinction in the postgame between those two things. Meaning it might be that you wouldn't have, you judge, you know what, this isn't so important. Then they specifically ask her, I don't know, you know, like let's say like he asked you, is she a vegetarian? Whatever. I'm just picking a random example. So you might say like, who cares, right? Like not a big deal. But maybe the guy wants to know and she isn't telling them. Or you think of relevant examples. So it seems that there is a difference in that regard that you, once they ask you, then you ought to tell them. Why is there a difference, right? Why does it matter whether they ask you or not? So it might be because it's some things are a real flaw for some people and not others. It's probably the most basic, right? So there are certain pieces of information where until you know otherwise, it's not relevant, and then better not to say, because again, it might be Lashon Hara. But when you know that it is relevant, you ought to share that information. I think that's the most basic way of that distinction. And I want to make one more point. I'll take your question in a second. What about from the asker's perspective, right? What are you allowed to ask? So let's say you're whether it's a business partner or a shidduch, let's say you're looking to date someone. What can you ask about that person? So the Chofetz Chaim is pretty clear in other postgame too that you are allowed to ask. Now again, you should, you know, keep a good head on your shoulders. It doesn't mean you should ask every single little thing ever. But if it's something that's relevant, you are allowed to ask. And he says you're allowed to ask even many different people, Yaki Yosef says, to get different perspectives from different sources to give you a better picture. That is all relevant. And therefore, since the asker is allowed to ask, the person who is giving the information should not feel that they're doing anything wrong by giving the answers. Okay, Andrew, do you want to ask something?
Yeah,
you're allowed to.
I was wondering, what extent is the shadchan obligated to know whether or not a person has a problem and then address it before introducing somebody else?
It's a good question. I wish I had a hard and fast answer. And you asked to what degree is a shadchan, a matchmaker, obligated to know such information and then take care of the issue and share it before suggesting the match? Obviously, now I don't think it would be, I think that's really a question of lifnei iver, meaning what you're really doing is giving someone potentially bad advice. Right? If you're setting them up with someone who's not fit for them, then you're giving them bad advice. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to give what we call etzah she'ena hogenet. So they really ought to do their research. To what extent is hard, though? Obviously, every situation is different, but you really ought to do the best research that you can. That's what I would say.
Going around asking people all kinds of questions, right? What she like.
You should try to get to know yourself. I mean, like, that's the shotgun's job. You got to know the person a little bit. You ask them questions. Again, you should ideally ask the person questions, right? Like, that's the first address. And I think we should assume, Minastam, that people are being honest. If you have a specific reason to think otherwise, then it might be important to go do other research. But the shachan ought to go to the person themselves and ask questions.
But if the shachan knows things about the other person, the man or the woman, and still puts them together, what kind of a job is that?
Well, that's our discussion, right? Our discussion is exactly that. What information do they need to share? What don't they need to share, right? And again, I'm trying to give some criteria for that, but there are no clear and easy guidelines. It really requires a good judge to determine when to do that. Being a shachan could be a hard job, no doubt about it. Okay. But one other thing I wanted to add, though, is that when the Chafetz Chaim talked about asking for information in all these cases, he says it's important to add why you're asking. So instead of just going to someone and say, hey, what do you know about Sprinza, whatever, and I have nothing against the name Sprinza, by the way. If anyone is named Sprinza, I just like to take that example sometimes. So what do you know about Sprinza? Say, hey, I am potentially going to go out with this girl. I'm looking into the shidduch, and therefore I want to know a bit more about her. Can you tell me about this? And the reason for that is, number one, it takes away the suspicion that you're looking for Lashon Hara. And it helps with intent, right? And again, part of the problem with Lashon Hara is the character issue, not just the information issue. So even if the information that you're getting is totally legitimate to seek, knowing that the intent is for the right reason is still totally relevant, because it means both the asker and listener that you're doing it for a good reason and you're not just somebody looking for gossip. So you ought to add that information as well. Now, just another few more points about this issue. It really is important to make sure that an appropriate person is asking and that as best as possible they're not biased, which adds to the shachan issue. Because if somebody either biased positively or for sure negatively could really be damaging. Number one, they might share the information in an exaggerated or an accurate way. Even if they think it's right, their bias about the person really might color the way they share that information, which could damage the relationship unnecessarily. So that's number one. Even if it's not somebody, for instance, though, who dislikes the person, it might be someone who doesn't know them very well, which is also relevant because, you know, somebody, let's say, is trying to check out someone for their son or daughter. And then they, oh, I know this guy knows them because they live in the same community. Just because they live in the same community doesn't mean that they know each other. And them not knowing each other also might be a reason that the way that information is shared isn't appropriate, right? If you don't know someone so well, it sometimes determines, you know, how you share the information. And the way that you share it is oh so important, which mentions another issue, which is how good of a communicator they are. Some people aren't the best communicators. And even if they don't mean anything negative by the way they say certain things, they might say it in a way that because of the way they talk, the listener misinterprets or rubs them the wrong way when it really didn't need to. So when you are sharing this information, it's important to try as best as possible that you're not biased about the person in any way. And that you're communicating it clearly and you're not exaggerating, because the way that you communicate things is very important. Ray Feldman also mentions a few things that are just very important in terms of the limit on this, right? So what we're saying is it can be very important to share such information, but there are certain cases that people share such information where it's not so important. And we all have to acknowledge that sometimes people just like kibitzing and gossiping but other people, and they blame it on, oh, it's shidduchim, it's okay. It's not always okay. So for instance, one question that's often not relevant is, why didn't it work out, right? Meaning like you might hear, oh, you went out with such a person, you didn't like them, you know, so why didn't it work out? Often that's not really relevant. Meaning often it's like, okay, if you want to ask the person about the girl, what he knows, that's fine. But to ask them why it didn't work out for you, everybody's different. There's different compatibility levels. And that ends up just being private information. And if you know about why it didn't work out with someone else, usually it's not really appropriate to share. And then on the flip side, let's say they're going to get married, right? Let's say Sara Yiska is going to marry Yankel at this point. At that point, it really might not be so relevant to share all the information, because even if they're going to get married anyway, but the way that they go into the marriage might be impacted by what you share. So I don't know. I'll just give a silly example, but it's silly, but you could find that ones are not. So let's say they're getting married already, that they called a date, and then you're like, you know, Sarah Yiska, she hates baseball. She detests it. She really doesn't like baseball. I don't know. Whatever. And then and Yanko's like, oh, man, I'm a big baseball fan. So it could be Yanko will marry Sarah Yiska. And it has me thinking, you know, wouldn't it have been nice to find somebody who was a good baseball fan? And why do you need that? Well, at that point, it's not relevant. They're getting married anyway. There's no toilet in doing that, right? Just because you have information that you might think is relevant about a person doesn't mean at this point you need to share it. So those are some basic guidelines in terms of discussion about this. Again, like it's hard to make. There's a lot of literature about it, actually. There are a lot of different shuvos about this topic specifically, sharing information for prospective matches and things like that. It's very hard to determine like hard, fast rules for these things. Like, you know, you might ask, what about that sort of disease? You have to share that. I happen to have seen Ramosha has the discussion about what about a woman who is young and hasn't yet, you know, gone in her menstrual cycle at an old age. And Ramosha actually says you don't have to share that information right away, because it could be that later on it will improve. Maybe after they get married, so that's interesting, because I would have thought that is something that you would have had to share. Ramosha says you don't have to. So it's hard to make really hard and fast rules. But I think the general principles of, number one, thinking about timing. Is it an appropriate time to share this information, or is it not an appropriate time? Could wait for later. Maybe they'll do it themselves. Is this essential information, or is it not so essential information? You know, are they asking for it, or are you just voluntarily offering unsolicited information? There's a difference there. When you do so, make it clear the reason that you're doing it is not because you like gossiping, but more because you understand that there is relevance to this information and it's for a beneficial purpose. And to make sure as best as possible to share it in as factual, non-exaggerated, clear, and communicative way, so that the information is taken in the right way, which will not unnecessarily alter the perspective on the other person. Okay, thank you very much. Hope you found this informative. And Mirtz Hashem, we'll continue next week.
There's a lot there.
Bye, everybody.